Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Suzy Larson Live. Enjoy the conversation.
It's only just a matter of...
Thank you for listening to this podcast of Suzy Larson Live. The title of this message is Loved, Bold, and Brave. You may hear me shuffling through my notes a little bit, but I have something that's just on my heart that I want to share with you, that you are loved, that you are bold, and you are brave because Christ is in you. Maybe you've heard me share this story before, but you know, I have three grown sons and I used to get lots of my speaking material from my middle son, Luke. He was our strong-willed child. And he is now an oak of righteousness, a godly man, so grounded in the things of God. But as a little guy, he challenged everything we said. You know, I'd say up, he'd say down. I'd say left, he'd say right. And he spent plenty of time in the timeout corner. And I remember, and you know this if you know my story, battled Lyme disease, and terribly so in those early years as a young mom of three little boys. We had no money, rarely were able to get out and do many fun things. We just didn't have the money. But I remember I needed a babysitter for a doctor appointment. And all three of my go-to sitters were unavailable. I couldn't get them. They just, anyway. So a friend of a friend had a friend who had a daughter who was available. And I was desperate. So I hired her to babysit these three boys of mine. We lived on a cul-de-sac, but the backyard of the house at the end of the cul-de-sac backed right up to a 50-mile-an-hour highway road, just super fast road leading into the highway, and no fences on any of these backyards. So it was, even though it was great to live on a cul-de-sac, it was a little scary to have such busy traffic just feet away from us, right? So I came home, and now my boys at this point were 1, 3, and 5. I'm driving into the cul-de-sac. I see the babysitter's got Jordan, little one-year-old, in the stroller pushing him around the cul-de-sac. I see my five-year-old pushing his pretend plastic lawnmower around the front yard like he's pretending to mow the lawn. I see my three-year-old, my little chubby toddler, nowhere. And I pull in and she's like, hey, how'd it go? And I'm like, fine, where's Luke? And because I just knew how close we were to this highway. And this is the honest truth. She looked at me, shrugged her shoulders and says, I don't know. He was just too hard to keep track of. I'm like, what? What? When was the last time you saw him? And she gave me another shoulder shrug. And I took off running. And I'm running and praying and gasping for breath. And I go to find Lukey about 20 feet, I'd say, from the busy highway, sitting in the grass, pulling up fistfuls of grass, watching it flutter down into his lap, singing a song. And I scooped him up and I kissed his little chubby face, thanked God for him. Then I thought to myself, hey, no wonder this girl didn't have any gigs. Unbelievable. And, you know, the truth of the matter is Luke was a handful back then. I had to put twice as much effort into him than the other two combined during those early years. But he was a little human life, and he was worth the fight. When I look at the kind of husband he is now, the kind of son he is, the man of God he is, the way that he plays guitar on worship team, he contributes to the kingdom. He's valuable just because he's valuable, but I'm just saying I can't even imagine our life without him. He was worth the fight. But I feel like that is sort of a word picture for us of the promised life that God destined for us. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So that you can do the wonderful things he planned for you long ago. And I think sometimes we kind of approach our life the way the babysitter approached Luke's life. It's just too hard. Too hard to contend for the promises. Too hard to activate my faith and believe God for the impossible. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, when I watch the battles you go through to serve God, it makes me not want to do it. But you know what? Life on earth is short and eternity is long and we're living for eternity and we have this life to serve God, to bring glory to his son, and to steward our life, our time, treasure, and talents in a way that nourishes the kingdom, strengthens the kingdom, changes the world, and brings honor to our Father. That's why we're here, not to live comfortable. So I want to talk with you about four realities that I really believe that not only must we possess as kingdom people, but possess them in increasing measure, that we kind of accumulate and acquire a deeper revelation of these four realities. And I think we so often lose sight of them because we don't want to contend for them. And I'm going to personalize them for you. I want you to repeat after me. I'm loved and secure. That's the first one. Loved and secure. I am healing. I am called and I am empowered. You are, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. You are seated with Christ. So even on your insecure days, that insecurity is just an illusion. There's never an insecure day for the believer, truly, because you're seated with Christ. And Christ is above all things. He's above every enemy scheme, every weakness, every trial, every obstacle. Christ is above all of those, and you're seated with him. So even when it feels like you're less than, even when you feel insecure, that really is just an illusion. Not to say we don't deal with those things. Those often are times and places that God wants to heal us on a deeper level. But the spiritual reality is you're seated with Christ. And you know this, if you listen to my show often enough, that every single day I ask my guest, is there a verse you've been thinking about these days? Well, when I asked Alan Jackson that verse, when he first came on the show, his answer absolutely gripped me. And he said he'd been sitting with the story of Paul when Paul went before Agrippa. And here he is, you know, on trial, but Paul, the greatest evangelist on the planet, uses the opportunity to testify about Jesus. And Alan Jackson says, you know, Agrippa is standing before the best evangelist of all time, the most effective one, you know, most powerful one. And this man is testifying about Jesus. And in so many words, Agrippa said, you almost convinced me to become a Christian. I was almost persuaded to become a Christian. And Alan said, it made me wonder, are there things that I'm almost persuaded about that I should be fully persuaded about? And that cut me to the heart, because at that moment, when Alan had said that, I was wavering between two opinions just around my health challenges. Is there a boot coming out of the sky? Like, is the next shoe about to drop? Or is that a hand I see reaching out for me? Is it a boot? Is it a hand? I mean, I've gone back and forth. And maybe you feel that way, where you're like, I want to have faith, but I'm wondering, should I be bracing for impact, waiting for the next shoe to drop? Well, God never wants us living bracing for impact, waiting for the next shoe to drop. And there's instances in scripture where we are challenged. You know, Elijah goes before, when he had the face off with the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. How long, he says, will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him, believe him, trust him. And then James says, you know what, if you need wisdom, ask for it, but be sure that you trust and believe that God's going to provide it. Don't be double-minded. That means to be double-minded is to see two ways instead of one. He says, when you waver between two opinions, basically, plan A, plan B, he might, he won't, don't expect to receive anything from God. And there's other places in scripture. I think as Timothy said, I am fully persuaded that God is able to guard that which I've entrusted to him. Abraham said, though his body was as good as dead, he was fully persuaded that God was able to keep his promise to him. Paul said, I think this is how he said, I'm fully persuaded that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Are there things that you're wavering about that God is wanting you to be fully persuaded about? Because if there are, and I think there are those places in all of our souls, we need to contend for those things. We need to wrestle for those things. To bring you back to that picture of Luke, your promised life is worth contending for. So don't let that wavering linger in your soul for very long. So that first thing, you're loved and secure. And if you're wavering, if you're wondering, if you have more insecure thoughts than you do secure thoughts, contend for it. Because I think it's time for us to restore our roar, you know, to get our roar back. I realized after that conversation with Alan Jackson, I've been so battered by my storm that I lost my roar. And I was just kind of trying to get by and get through. If you're there, it is time to restore your roar, to recover your roar, and start with contending with your spiritual status and position in Christ. Because if you don't, you will be battered by the storm. You'll waver between two opinions, and you'll start to wonder, is it true that I'm not at the mercy of the times or man's opinion or even my opinions of myself? Is it really true that a healed and whole soul is my spiritual right as an heir of God? Is it really true that I have a unique and powerful call on my life, one that matters greatly in the greater scheme of things? Is it really true that there are promises in Scripture that are for me, that as I pray them, say them, and believe them, I will see mountains move and waters part? How long do you think we'll waver between two opinions? I think it's time to start contending for the promise. So that first one, that not only are we called to know, I mean, Ephesians says to know this love, though it's so great you'll never fully understand it. Doesn't that show you you're called to know this love and know it in increasing measures? As I often say, no matter how long you've walked with God, it's like you hold a Dixie cup and the ocean remains. So jump in, swim in His grace, get to know His love because it will change you from the inside out. I want you to grow and I want me to grow to such a degree that we can say with a holy roar, I know that I am secure in Christ. I know that I am loved by Him. And how do you know that? You meditate on those truths. You rehearse them. You remember them. You pray them and you say them. Remember what Dr. Tim Jennings said on my show? And I've repeated it 1,000 times because it's worth remembering. He said, if you were to spend 15 minutes a day pondering the love of God, it would change your brain structure and it would change your soul. I'm loved and I'm secure and I know it. Now, the second one is I'm healing. And I know a lot of people say you should say, I'm healed. There are differing opinions about that. If you have an ailment and you're not healed, some would say you're creating a cognitive dissonance, like a bridge with a big blowout, right, you know, right in the middle of the bridge, where if you're saying one thing and what is true is another, it creates this disconnect. Now others, because Scripture says calling those things that are not as though they are, that you should just say, I'm healed. Even if you're not. So differing opinions, so you can say I'm healed or I'm healing. I think if you've listened to the show long enough, you know my theology on healing, I'm sure it's always evolving. And I think we're all, you know, we all see as in a glass dimly. So we're all wrong about some things. So this is where I'm at with my theology on healing, where I stand now. Now, this may change. I don't know. But I do believe very godly people get sick and die, and it's not because they're lacking faith. So I'm not in the camp that God always heals every time, and if you don't get your healing, it's because you missed a step. That, to me, feels cruel and heart-wrenching, because especially when you say that to a person who's sick, it's all they can do to get through their day, and then you heap on them, well, you just need more faith. Well, Bible says all you need is a mustard seed. But I'm not willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater like many do and say, those gifts were just in Scripture, they're not for today. 100% disagree, and I'll tell you, you'll never be able to convince me otherwise. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is one thing I'm rock solid on. My own son had a medical miracle healing. God healed him. And there are documented cases, bona fide miracles. Now, I know some people fake it and generate things, and they'll have to answer to God. But I am not willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater. So where do I land? I believe God still heals today. I believe there's a mystery as to why some get healed and others don't. I also do believe we would see more miracles if more of us were willing to contend. And I'm contending daily. And it's been a slow process, but it has put a fight in me. It has helped me know God's word. I'm changed for the better because I've erred on the side of faith. I think faith is important. It's precious to God, and it changes us. So that's where I land. But maybe we all can just say, you know, we maybe land in different places on physical healing. But I'd say we can all agree that God wants to restore our souls and He wants to heal us in the deepest places of our soul. Excuse my voice. Sorry about that. Listen to this from Ephesians. God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even while we were dead in our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He's done for us who are united in Christ. So you say, I'm loved and I'm secure. And then you say, I'm healing. And let me tell you what I learned about that. First, let me read this, Isaiah 53:4-5. Yet it's our weakness He carried. It was our sorrow that weighed Him down. And we thought His troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for His own sins. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. Now, here's a verse that just blew me out of the water as I talk about knowing some of these things in increasing measure. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as a gift of God, not of works, so no one can boast. One day, as I was wrestling through really terrible symptoms, feeling kind of battered, the Lord nudged me, look up the word saved and see what it means. I looked it up, and you know what it means? Sozo. That's the translated word. That's the original word, sozo. This is not just a ticket to heaven. This is proof that Jesus cares deeply about the human condition. Sozo means to save, to heal, to restore, to make well, to restore to health, and to save from the penalties of judgment. And what the Lord whispered to me, Susie, you get a healthy life by stewardship. You get a healed life by faith. And I realized I'm so disciplined and I'm fighting so hard to get well. I'm army crawling for all those inches, right? But I was putting more weight on my choices. And you do get healthy from stewardship. You get, and stewardship matters. You know, I talk about that a lot. But the sozo healing, you only get that by faith. The kind of deep soul healing and restoration. I mean, healing from trauma, healing from heartbreak, healing from experiences that took you to task. That kind of healing is acquired by faith. And don't you just love Jesus that he would make this whole healing available to us by grace through faith, a gift from God, not a result of things we do. You know, he doesn't heal us based on our goodness, and he doesn't disqualify us based on our badness. He heals us because he's good, and he went the distance. So now when I pray that verse, for by grace I'm sozoed, that's what I say, through faith. For by grace you're saved, you're healed, you're made well, you're restored to health, you're saved from the penalties of judgment. I want you to imagine what a healthier, healed you might look like. Here's another passage, Psalm 103, 1 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord and forget not his benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us not forget the things he does for us. This is a little bit of my paraphrase. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He ransoms my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things. And my youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, let me tell you, who doesn't need forgiveness? Who doesn't need healing? Who doesn't need desire to have their desires satisfied? Who doesn't need to be rescued from the pit or have their youth renewed like the eagles? So I'm telling you, friend, as long as I have breath, I'm praying that verse. I'm praying it for you and I'm praying it for me. Scripture says that when we wait on the Lord, when we trust in him, we will rise up with new strength. That's a strength we've not known before, a new power that we've not walked in before. We'll run and not get weary. We will walk and not faint. So, are you getting your roar back yet? You are loved, you're beloved, you're bold, you're brave. Are you with me in having a vision to walk in increasing measures with these realities? I'm loved and secure. I am healing, or I'm healed, however you want to say it. And the third is I'm called. You are called. You're his masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus. Now, this little portion is from my message in my book, Your Beautiful Purpose, but I'm inserting it here because it fits perfect. All of us have different purposes. All of us have very unique callings that are as unique as we are. And I love that because many gifts are needed. Many passions are needed in the full kingdom story, right? I love that. But these four things are common denominators for all of us. So if you put 10 people up in front of the room, all of us, our callings would look different. But all of us, these four things apply to. Are you ready? The first part of your calling is to be much with God. Walk intimately with God. May your relationship with him, your intimate, thriving relationship with him, be the most important thing about you and who you are and just the greatest delight of your life. Be much with God. Two, do the next thing he says. If you do what he says today, he'll get you where you need to go tomorrow. Third, give him access to your story and to your character. That means be humble enough to let him correct and redirect, to guide, provide, because he disciplines his children. He disciplines those he loves. And he, when we are asking him to do the impossible in and through us, which is the fourth step, it's going to require some refining, some training, some preparing. So be much with God. Do the next thing he says. Give him access to your character, your inconsistencies, all the ways you hide your weaknesses. Be wide open and honest with him and let him address those things because he'll always call you up. He'll always heal you. He will never beat you down or berate you. And then that fourth one, is ask him, if you dare, God, do the impossible in and through me. I dare you to pray that prayer. I long for the body of Christ to raise up, be raised up, and say, God, do the impossible in and through me. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if more people decided their life and their calling and their legacy and their story was worth it, that it was worth contending for, worth getting up and running hard after? My little Luke was worth it, and you are worth it, all right? So repeat after me. I'm loved and secure. I am healing. I'm healed. I am called. And finally, you're empowered. All of God's promises are yes and amen. All of his promises are backed by the honor of his name. If you watch Jesus in the Gospels and you listen to what he says about stewardship, it matters a whole lot what we're doing with our time, treasure, and talents. And I believe he's coming soon. I believe he's coming soon. And he, above all, wants to find us living ready, tending to his heart, to his kingdom, to the kingdom story. And so I am praying with all my heart that you would rise up, if you haven't already, and you'd be mobilized into your high call. And maybe you've heard me read this on the show before. I don't remember when I did last, but I'm sure I did before. But I spent a good amount of time in Romans 4 many years ago. And I wrote a paraphrase prayer, and I'm going to share it here. And it's in my book, Your Beautiful Purpose. But I first want you to picture the obstacles that would stand in your way, keep you from being everything God intended you to be. Maybe those obstacles are you feel uneducated, or you have a track record, or you're shy or fearful or insecure. Whatever your obstacles, picture those in a big pile. Now hear this. Without weakening in my faith, I will face the fact that there are many reasons, those are your obstacles, that I should not be able to fulfill the call of God in my life. But I will not waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God. No, I will be strengthened in my faith, giving glory to God, because I am fully persuaded that God has the power and is able to do what he's promised. Therefore, I put no confidence in my weaknesses or my obstacles, but I put all of my hope in the power, the faithfulness, the authority of Almighty God, who daily establishes his purposes for me. I pray you're fully convinced, fully persuaded that your life matters so much. I pray that you'll rise up and live a promised life, that you get that roar back, and you, in increasing measures as every day passes, you would know on a deeper level that you are loved and secure, and you would just know deeper how secure you actually are. You would know on a deeper level how deeply God wants to heal you and restore you and transform you. You would know on a deeper level that you are very specifically called and positioned on the earth for such a time as this. And you would know on an ever-deepening level how empowered you are. You could never exhaust all the promises of God. You could never lay hold of all the tools that God offers. But you know what? You can try. So jump in, stretch your arms out, ask God, do the impossible in and through me. And then you just keep taking the next steps. And before you know it, you've partnered with God to do something amazing on earth. I pray that encourages you today. I love doing this journey with you. I appreciate you so much. If you want to email me about anything, you can email me at Susie@myfaithradio.com. Sometimes takes me a little while to get back. For me, caught up is under 300 emails in my inbox. If I'm 275, I'm feeling pretty good. So it takes me a while, but I want to hear from you. Love to know if there's anything even in this message today that resonated with you. In the meantime, I'll be praying. You know what? Your life matters, and I pray you sense God's presence increasingly so in the coming days. God bless you. Have a great one. Thanks for listening to this Susie Larson Live podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast now at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live.